All right, welcome to Comics Corner.
This is our third episode. We're talking about Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. This book was written by Mariko Tamaki, who usually collaborates with her cousin, Jillian Tamaki, who is a comics illustrator, but is working with Rosemary Valero O'Connell for this novel. She's written multiple other graphic novels, such as this one, Summer, her debut, Skim, and her newest book, Roaming, and she reunites with her cousin, Jillian Tamaki. So this book was written as an antithesis to queer teen romance novels. It focuses on the characters' relationships, specifically after they've already met, and the toxicity of their relationship. So it focuses on toxic relationships within the queer community. This is a very... under-touched upon topic. Not a lot of books really touch on that. Usually, I've noticed a lot of books like this would focus on homophobia or like how people react or coming out or stuff like that, or just getting into a relationship. Whereas this novel focuses on mostly the aftermath of that. So I like this book because the characters, most of them feel like people I would know. And I like that it's much more dark than Heartstopper or similar books like Bloom. So it's basically the lesbian anti-Heartstopper. So I'm here with my co-host, Ian Walter.
Ooh, I'm a co-host?
Yes, everybody here is a co-host. I switch co-hosts every episode.
I don't think that's a co-host. I think that's a guest.
Well, you know!
I could be your co-host. But you didn't invite me, so...
Well, we're gonna ignore that, so I
can... You don't
can
have any comics
for my
read?
Dignity. Maybe you should be my co-host.
I'd be your co-host.
Maybe we should switch that up. Make for a much more diverse discussion. But anyway, we've got to get into this. So, I guess this is a more casual episode.
Oh, fine then.
Yeah, well, no, because I usually have more written, but you were able to finish the book so quickly that we're taking this more casually. And that's good, because I always like podcasts that are much more of like a people playing off of mm-hmm. each other kind of thing. Okay, so, first let's talk about what did you think of the story? And did you agree with my assessment that it's kind of like an antithesis to Heartstopper and how, like, you know, heartfelt that one is? And it's much more of like an innocent, very emotional depiction of people like dealing with each other's problems and trying to navigate in that relationship. Whereas this is just like much more brutal and awkward and uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, I think, well, personally, I don't like Heartstopper. I don't know. I don't like romances very often. Mm. So I really thought I wasn't going to like this book. Mm-hmm. And at first I didn't like it because I started it at 3 a.m.
Mm. When did you start reading it? How many days ago?
Saturday.
Okay.
Or I guess it was Sunday. Wait. It was technically
okay.
Sunday.
Anyway, so yeah, you
it
started
was technically
reading
Sunday.
It, you didn't like it.
I didn't like it very much, and then the rest of Sunday, I was like, "Man, I should probably finish it." And then at like 6:30, which I guess you don't need to know this, I just kind of read until dinner.
Great.
So there's my timeline. But I started getting really into it, and it's a very solid plot, and I really like how it's, you're right, it's like the opposite of Heartstopper. It's the antithesis of a romance because it's not about falling in love. It's about trying to let go of something that's
trying
not
to fall
good for
out
you.
Of love.
Yeah, exactly. Like that spiritual lady said. It's
In the book, it's like
in
getting
the book.
Out of the square dance.
Yeah, getting out of the square dance.
Okay, so why don't we talk more about, like, the specifics of the plot? So, first of all, what did you think about... There are a lot... I thought it was interesting how there are two, like, people outside of her situation, of her friends, that Freddie goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And we can touch upon, like, the characters, the main characters in a second. But what did you think about the fact that there is the columnist character who she's writing to during the book? Did you think that was gimmicky, or did you think it, like, was... It was relevant to the story?
I think as someone who's read a lot of graphic novels, it does take, like... At some point, you do have to have that outside voice, like, telling you what to think.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, the story's going on, but, like, a good graphic novel... I took a course at Interlaken this summer about graphic novels. And my instructor, he told me, like, when you're writing a story, like, it's so much more interesting if you have, like, the main story going on, and then, like, in the box describing it, it's not telling you what's happening in the images. It's telling you something so you can connect to them.
That's
and you can,
great,
like, pull together
a great
full
advice,
story.
Actually.
I know.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like,
I'm glad I know that, too. That helped with my graphic novel,
man,
too.
You write comics for The New Yorker, and you're telling me this? This is awesome.
Oh, where the hell did you, I shouldn't curse on this podcast. Where did you find that camp?
I found it because Gray Smith goes to it every year. And I was like, okay, I can just try to get in. And then I worked on a comic for, like, 2 months, like, nonstop to...
Jeez.
Yeah, try to submit it, and then I got in.
Can I see the comic?
You can. I mean, not right now, because I don't, like,
well, no,
have
I know,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, in general.
That's great advice. Okay, so that's good. That's good. What did you think about when she goes to the seeker, which I guess is, like, the feminist psychic at the D&D club, and then... Also, I thought it was really
love
funny
when my
that there was like a giant
a
D&D
psychic
club. What did you think about that? Because that was fairly one note, and they never talked to her again.
That's true. I
but
think
that tends to be for most of Mariko Tamaki's novels. There's always like some kind of like offhand. They're very realistic, where it's a lot of people just like walking around trying to solve their problems in like the usual ways people would. Although like that's not really usual. Friend being like, let's go talk to a psychic, but. Anyway, yeah, what did you think about that?
I think it was a cool plot element. Not an elephant. I think it was useful to the plot. I think there was a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it feels very thrown in there, and it feels
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and it's weird
they don't
you
really
have,
call
like,
back to
the,
her.
The columnist giving her advice, and mm-hmm. it's weird to then have, like, a very similar character show up and then never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it... I feel like it gave us more... I feel like she wasn't really meant to be a character. She's more of a plot
no.
device, because... When Freddy goes and talks to her, it gives us a lot more information on Freddy and how she feels about Laura Dean as a person, not just the situation.
Yeah.
And also, I think it gave us more characterization of Doodle as being, like, so off-kilter and wacky. And I thought that's funny.
Goofy and
yeah.
silly.
So let's talk about the main character. So we have, I mean, there's, like...
Do you not remember the main
characters? Oh, I remember the main characters. I'm just trying to figure out how to phrase this. So there's the main characters, and there's, like, the side characters. So
mm-hmm.
I'd say Laura Dean is a side character. I'd say within it, they're, like... I'd say, like, the main perspectives that we focus... The main players in the plot that really matter are Freddy, who
mm-hmm.
is this... They don't really touch upon why she feels like she has to stick with Laura Dean, but it seems to me like she has low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed, she's one of, like, the few Asian students in her school, or that's what it seems like. Like, she talks a lot about that, or, you know, seems like she has low self-esteem.
And the relationship with her parents, too, they have a very, like, loving relationship.
Yeah.
But, like, she even talks about how, like, it doesn't feel right, like,
yeah.
the two of them together. But,
I
like,
know what you
they
mean,
still,
yeah.
like, he's very touchy-feely,
and
she's kind of, she wants...
I think you can assume from
yeah.
that. A lot of what Mariko Tamaki does is she'll offer things up, and then you can, like, sort of, like, if she shows you a snapshot of someone's life, as if you just walked into it, and then you can kind of assume what's going on by
mm-hmm.
what people say. So what I assumed was that her parents probably fought, they do fight, but then they go back to seeming completely fine, and to her that just seems weird. Which, I think that's how a lot of relationships are,
yeah.
but... I understand. Like, as a teenager, that also seems weird to me. You know, like, that's how people's relationships are. So, yeah. So there's that.
There
and
is
then,
that.
And
yeah.
then you've got Doodle, her best
Doodle.
Friend, who...
Who I did not know was a girl for half the book.
Oh, no. So we'll talk about... We'll get to Doodle for a second, because I think Doodle is where Mariko Tamaki's writing this book really shines.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's talk about their characters first. So we've got... What was her name? What was the girl that she met at the donut shop and then was, like, a potential love interest?
Vi,
yes. So,
yes.
Vi, who's an older... I think she's, like, 18 or 19. Or 20.
Oh, yes, 1 year older.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's working at the donut shop. She works all these different jobs throughout town, and this takes place in Berkeley, so she's doing all these little jobs.
I don't actually know where Berkeley is.
It's... I don't know. It's in California. It's like it's like the cool rich city or town, I guess. It's like
yeah, they looked very California.
Yes, it is very California. So So they've got Vi, and she meets Freddy, and then, like, she meets her again in a bowling alley, and they start talking. And mm-hmm. so, basically, she's there to show Freddy that there are other people who are better than Laura Dean, who can respect her as a person.
Yeah.
And I think that also, her friendship with Vi also gives her a chance to realize, like, you know, my friendships are so much more sustaining and interesting than my relationship with Laura Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they don't get together at the end, I think it's good that she says, you know, I'm too old for you, even though she really isn't.
No.
I mean, there is kind of the gap of, well, actually, yeah, she really
high
isn't.
High school to college.
No, she's not even in college, though. Oh, God. So she's not, there's not even, like a social divide.
Yeah, no.
So the fact is, I think she just says that because it's like, you know, you shouldn't get into another relationship. No. You need to work on yourself. Time. Yeah.
I am actually, good. I'm really happy that she didn't end the book in a relationship. I'm really happy that it just ended with, because I thought, like, at some point it was kind of hinting that, like, Doodle kind of had a crush on her.
Okay.
And I was really happy that didn't go
we
anywhere.
Should talk about that, because the end of the book for me I thought was very confusing. We'll get into that when we talk about Doodle, because, like, the thing is, the plot itself really revolves, it's a lot like the book, or sorry, it's a lot like the movie Frances Ha, where it's been called, you haven't seen it, but it's, mm-hmm. like, it's about this, it's about the main character, Frances, and she's living in New York trying to be successful, because her best friend is successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of described as, like, a love story between, like, a platonic love story between these two characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this book was, because really, if you think about it, Freddie doesn't really change on her own. Doodle is the agent of change. So really, this book is actually about Doodle, and I think she's the best example of Mariko Tamaki's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the other characters in this book were, like, Doodle's two friends that are gay guys that are dating, and they really don't have very much characterization. We see them, you know, and, like, they pop in as part of Freddy's daily life, but they're not really characterized.
Yeah. They're characterized as two gay guys. They're pretty flat characters.
Yeah, they're very, very just kind flat. Of and Laura Dean's also very flat. Like, you never see her actually be charming. She's just kind of, like, imposing and almost, like, aggressive.
I don't think she's, like, flat as a character. I think, like,
I think the issue is, like, we're shown who she is, but we're never, like, allowed to explore her. We never actually, I thought the most interesting part of this book was we never actually see Freddie and Laura Dean be romantic with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We always pop into their, like, we always pop into the situation right after they've, like, you know, been hanging out, or right after they've been implied to, you know, let me, like,
you know.
You know, we always pop in right after we would have gotten to see them being, like, close with each other. We always pop in with, like, Laura Dean saying some, like, you know, having, like, a offensive conversation where she's like, it's so cool I have an Asian girlfriend, and she's like, happy,
cool,
that's not weird, and then she leaves. So it's interesting that we never actually get to see why Freddy fell in love with her.
Well, we never see the romantic part.
Yeah, we see the square dancing part. We never see her be, like, affectionate. We see the sexual part. Exactly. We do always see, like, there's always kind of a sexual undertone. Mm-hmm. Even with the square dancing, because that was mostly physical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you stretch that, it was kind of like that. But
the sexiest thing, square dancing.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of other characters that are very fairly flat. And I'd even say Freddy herself doesn't really have a lot of development.
Well,
we don't really get to, well, I'd say, like, we don't get to really know what she is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not really given that much background on her. And the person we're actually given the most background on is Doodle. Because mm-hmm. we don't see into Laura Dean's life, we see into Doodle's life. So now let's talk about Doodle. Doodle is, there's a lot to cover with Doodle. She's mm-hmm. very androgynous. And
yes.
they never explicitly state if she, like, what kind of, like, if she's queer, in what way that she's queer. Mm-hmm. We just know that she hangs out with gay people, and there's a scene in the book where some guys are like, I wonder if Doodle's a lesbian. She looks like it. But, how much time do we have left in class?
We have, like, 5 minutes, maybe.
Do you study hall after this?
I have study hall after this, yeah.
You want to just keep going?
Yeah, I can just keep going.
Okay, so Yeah. So we have, so Doodle's very androgynous. We're never we're never like led on to believe whether or not she's non-binary or lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's interesting is the book kind of plays on that later on, that it think, you know, we would assume that she might be gay or that she might be non-binary.
Yes, like a bait and switch.
Yeah, like a bait and switch. And the thing is, they don't really like confirm that she isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot in the novel that's like very, very subtle in the artwork or in like mm-hmm. the way people say things. Okay, so Doodle is very androgynous. She's very, like, she looks like she'd be very dorky and quiet. She's always wearing a lot of layers, and she has those little, like, dorky round glasses.
I have those glasses.
I know you do. Everyone has them. I'm the only person who doesn't. And anyway, so, she's very dorky, but at the same time, it's another bait and switch where you think she's going to be very, like, quiet and reserved and, like, anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, she's very outgoing. She's very confident.
Yeah.
She's really out of pocket and off kilter, and she's just, like, really cute and fun.
So, she knows who she is.
Yeah, she knows, like, who she is.
She doesn't need to prove it to anybody.
Yeah, but at the same time, it seems like because she isn't kind of, like, absorbed in, like, her friend's drama of, like, who am I? You know what I mean? That she also is now, like, looking for, like, another way to define herself that's, like, you know, more of, like, a social definition.
Yeah.
And so I think it was interesting. Yeah, so let's just talk about what happens with her. What did you think about the fact that within the story, it's revealed that she has been in being involved with her dungeon master, who is a married man? That was pretty crazy. But also
I was not expecting
that. That's crazy, and that she gets pregnant, and that's mm-hmm. basically like the actual plot of the book instead of just Freddie going off and
which
not
is crazy
being able to
which is like because it
sucks
over halfway through
yeah
when like the actual meat of the book like
starts and so Mariko Tamaki does a lot of books like that where it's really like a day in the life kind of story. Mm-hmm. Okay so she gets pregnant, and that's also interesting,
which is also interesting,
because it's revealed like, oh, she has sex with a guy, which means, you know, maybe she isn't queer, and it's supposed to be like another thing of people kind of like, because I think part of the realism of the book, even though Mariko Tamaki's books that take place in like when she was a teenager are fairly more realistic, mm-hmm. I thought this book was it was pretty on the mark with teenagers today. And I think the part where, you know, those boys at the party are like talking amongst themselves, like, I wonder if Doodle is a lesbian because of the way she dresses, I think that's an interesting commentary on, like, how, because of queer people becoming more visible, a lot of people assume people are gay.
Yeah, and since, like, she's hanging out with, like, the queer friend group, and, like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, well, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like,
you know,
maybe not all of our listeners know, but, like, some people just, like, they look gay to
like
society.
Stereotypically, yeah.
And, like, if they're not, everyone just goes insane.
Oh,
like,
my God, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like, no, this to anyone who doesn't know this person, like, it's, they came out as unlabeled, and everyone was like, oh, you're straight?
Wow. That's, like, the opposite of what unlabeled means, but, yeah, anyway, so, that was interesting to me. But the thing is, you know, it might seem like they were just being completely, they weren't revealing anything about Doodle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look closely at the scene where they're, like, Doodle is in, they're in Doodle's bedroom, and mm-hmm. Doodle's, like, tells Freddie that she's pregnant. So when Freddie's like, you're pregnant, and then Doodle's like, yes, that's what I said. Freddie says, well, whose is it? And they show a behind Freddie, they focus on a poster that's like, it's like a poster of a woman in like a, not like in a seductive pose, but it's like an artistic poster of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that, if I was reading that, I would think like, when I read it, I thought that was supposed to imply that Doodle, that
got
Freddie,
pregnant with another woman.
Nope. Nope. I was thinking,
she's just a talented little girl.
Okay, buddy. Come on. This is for school. I thought it was supposed to imply that she, or at least Freddie thought that she was gay. And that's mm-hmm. why she was surprised, like, who could get you pregnant?
Yeah.
Because she, like, you know, at first, she seemed more surprised than she would have been if she was like, I know you like guys, but who got you pregnant? you know, she was like, she basically was like, you're pregnant? How is this possible?
You're pregnant? I didn't know you could do that.
You know, I also think it's really interesting because you see Doodle become more of, like, an anxious person as she gets her phone. She's just so well-developed throughout the story.
I forgot about the whole no-technology thing. That's such an interesting plot point.
Isn't she so cool? Like, she's such a good character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, like, I want a book just about Doodle. Yeah, but the other thing is, like, they never explain her nickname either. She's, like, a total enigma. They never explain her nickname. I think... if you caught it, they say what her real name is, and it's Deidre.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and the other thing is, I don't think she's non-binary because they call her... Also, I don't think that she would... I don't think anyone would pick Doodle as a name, but...
Stop. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know, Eon.
My name is not Doodle.
Anyway, yeah, so... yeah, so I think at one point Freddie is like, Doodle, you know, talking to Doodle's father, and it's like, Doodle, blah, 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 she, blah, blah, blah. So she's not non-binary, even though she looks very androgynous.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, your parents just don't call you by the nickname because they just don't.
So cute. Goodness gracious. She's like a little cupcake, and she's super pink, so that's good, too. they color in, except for her skin, I think, you know, because this book is, like, in pink tones. I think she's completely pink. I think her hair is pink.
Yeah, about the
her
pink.
Her glasses are
like,
pink. Her clothes are pink.
It changes. Like,
yeah,
sometimes
it does.
She's pink, sometimes she's not. And I do really like that single
I think
color.
It's not like her coloring. It's just like that's how the shading is in the book.
It does a really good job with like shades and like expressing what's important, what's in the foreground, what's like. Because I remember there's this one panel where. Freddie and Doodle are in the panel, and Doodle is supposed to be walking away,
mm-hmm.
and in one panel, Doodle's in a slightly lighter shade, and then gets slightly darker as she goes further, and I'm like, that's a really cool way to use, like, shades and colors to express, because it's just, like, white, the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they express how far away they are, and I just thought that was really cool.
So what did you think about Doodle's storyline in the book?
Doodle's storyline is really interesting. Like, I really like how they just, like, kind of throw her in as, like, a character that you're not supposed to care about, and then just kind of, like, keep her in there, and, like, as the story progresses, you realize that, like, she's more than just, like, this cute best friend, and, like, she's got her own things going on. And, like, the art does, like, a really good job of, like, showing... like, that wordless emotion that is under Doodle. Because, like, Doodle has a very childish face.
Oh.
Like, Doodle looks like a little baby.
She's so cute.
But, the emotion in her face it's really well expressed through the art.
Yeah. I think I'll do that for a lot of other characters, I realize. Like, it's just weird that this book is really about Doodle. It's almost like you're just, like, experiencing her trying to help... Freddie from Freddie's perspective. It's mm-hmm. weird. Like, it's almost like she's telling a story about Doodle by not telling it about Doodle.
Yeah.
Which, I think it'd be an interesting thing to explore, but I think we're about out of time. I should probably eat lunch.